The following Dharma talk was given at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see many of you who were here last night again here today. And I feel this sense of tremendous warmth in my heart and a feeling of an importance of just having a day together to settle in with a practice and to take some of these themes and let them kind of marinate in our bones, in our body. And the theme of today is surrendering to love. And, you know, it's just amazing the way these things come up because I was asked what kind of title or theme I wanted to talk about today, and this was before Tuesday. You know, I don't have vision to be able to see into the future, and yet what a wonderful theme to work with today, you know? And just to receive where we're at. So I know for myself, I slept really well last night. It's the first time in quite a while that I've slept really well. But I'm tired. You know, my system is worn out. And I imagine for many of us, we're dealing with many different layers. Some still tired, some still agitated, some raw, vulnerable, unsure, scared. You know, the whole gambit is present. And so my intention today is to take this theme of surrendering to love as a way of holding where we're at, letting it unravel, and feeling ourselves more at ease with our own experience with each other in community. And my hope is that by the end of today, we have more sense of clarity and confidence and resilience and a path forward as to how we work with what is here now. So it's often the case when I teach, I kind of make it up as I go along. So in that way, me and Trump are one. And so what I thought to do is to start this morning with guided meditation and to help us just ground and settle into our bodies, you know, do what we did last night, but more of that, you know, standing meditation and guided meditation, and then just let the day unfold. And there'll be time for small group discussions this morning. We'll break for lunch. And then this afternoon, you'll see how it unfolds in terms of you know, what is needed to touch, to allow, and to let this experience of love not just be some kind of a concept, but actually to be an abiding place, you know? That's actually something that we feel. We feel it, we know it, we can rest in it, you know? And work it, you know, just like, you know, when you're making bread and you need to knead the flour and the dough, work it so that that sense or that quality, it saturates, it permeates, it suffuses, you know, that we've got a whole system that feels filled with love. So, I feel really happy to be here, and I tend to tune in, you know, energetically to what's needed, and that's usually the way in which I figure out what I want to teach. But particularly because we've been through quite a lot, and people, how everyone is feeling, I would really want to start with an invitation not to push yourself today, and to be very responsive to what is needed in a way where we're not breaking the container of the group, but just respectful to our own need. And so if, for example, you know, something comes up and it's evocative, or all of a sudden you feel just exhausted, you know, then, you know, find a corner somewhere and rest. You know, don't feel like you have to pull yourself into a sitting position and push through. This is not for pushing through. This is for receiving and responding and allowing and nourishing and coming into a level of ease and well-being. Yeah. And taking care of ourselves and being attentive and caring with each other. So, you know, what one person needs might be different than what the next one needs. And we need to just recognize that, you know, we all are not made out of cardboard. You know, we've got different needs. So if everybody isn't exactly in the same flow today, let it be that way. If some people are curled in a corner resting, make sure they've got a blanket, you know. It's, you know, that's the kind of thing that we need. We need softness and gentleness, and from that, then we'll find our strength. We'll find our energy. We'll be allowed to return in a field of care and kindness and gentleness. It's always the case when I teach that I really encourage people to listen in a way where they're really attuning to their own internal response. And, you know, if we're all sitting and you need to stand, trust that. And don't feel like you're being rebellious or inappropriate. Just quietly, just stand up. Trust it. Trust what your body is telling you need. Now, that's different than just kind of thrashing all over the place and allowing restlessness. But, you know, I've been to this community a few times, and you guys do not strike me as the thrashing around kind. So trust yourself. You're not going to cause chaos if you trust yourself. You know, the container's not going to collapse if you trust yourself. So let's maybe begin with affirming refuges and precepts. It's a nice way to begin a day. Helps us connect and ground and just establish the container. Can I just see anybody who's unfamiliar with refuges and precepts? Are there people new here? There's one. Okay. For the benefit of those who are unfamiliar, I'll just briefly recount it. Refuge is the connection with the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And for different people, they have different understandings of what that means. So in a highly traditional, very orthodox context, it means to connect with the Buddha, his teachings, and the noble awakened Sangha, who are who have directly understood what his teachings are. They've put them into practice and they understand that. For me, it also is, the Buddha is the awakened mind. So to take refuge in the Buddha is to take refuge in that quality of awakenedness which is present right now. And to take refuge in the Dhamma is not only taking refuge in the Buddha's teachings and the legacy of his teachings, but it's to take refuge in the truth of what's happening in the present moment. And to take refuge in the Sangha not only includes the Aryan Sangha of people who have seen clearly and are no longer confused, but it also is our collective aspiration to wake up, and it's our warmth and friendship and support to enable us to do that. And so because I am the way I am, you know, slightly sliding on the spectrums, you get to pick what refuge means for you. Okay? I don't tell you. You get to pick. So to affirm refuge is to connect with what is right and meaningful and true for us, and allows us to move from the sense of me as being a solid, separate entity to this vast, timeless, ever-present quality that we can connect with at any point. So that's refuge, you know. And precepts, you know, the traditional precepts are to refrain from killing, to refrain from stealing, to refrain from a sexual misconduct, to refrain from speech which is harsh or slanderous or divisive or useless, and to refrain from drug and drink which confuse and cause the mind to be scattered and dispersed. And when we affirm that, then we can relax and know that it's safe enough to close our eyes, to breathe, that, you know, our stuff is not going to get jacked, you know, that people are not going to be, you know, cruising, you know. We can just relax. And that's an important part of creating a container that makes it possible for us to practice together, yeah. But for me, that's an external layer to the precepts. And what I have found juicy is to take these and use them as an internal reflection. So the precepts to refrain from killing then as an internal reflection becomes the precept to do no harm. Okay? Now, for most of us, we live our lives with a background of the way we shame and deprecate and collapse and walk out on ourselves. And that's, for many of us, like wallpaper. We don't even see it, you know? And so when we take this precept to refrain from killing and use this as a reflection, it means time out on all of that. There has got to be a willingness to say no to the way in which we shame and criticize and belittle ourselves and make ourselves wrong for being. We have got to call time out. It has got to stop. And the first way that it stops is by noticing that it's there and not following it as if it's gospel truth. So for me, the precept then gives me some traction against some of those habits which are old and deep and serve no one. The second precept to refrain from stealing when dialed in is to accept what's going on, you know? So most of us hang out with a if-only list, you know? If only I was feeling clear and wise and bright and courageous, if only my knees didn't hurt, if only my heart didn't feel broken, if only I had a clear way forward, if only we had a different president of that, you know, if only. And to refrain from taking what is not given is to be with what is, and to leave aside the if only list. Not that we cannot engage in the world, but that's not where we go in our mind, the imagination of what it should be, could be, might be, if only what is was not. Now, for many of us, this is not a small task, because we spend a lot of our lives in if only. And so it's a huge relinquishment to just be with what is. The third precept is not just about sex and who we're having sex and if we're having sex. It's about the way we're relating to the world of sensuality and the way that we use sense contact to pull ourselves out of the present moment. The way we use food, the way we use shopping, the way we read the notes on a day-long retreat rather than be with the ache in our heart. You know? It's a dialing into the way in which we receive the world and how and why we're doing that. That's also huge. The fourth precept around speech is also, you know, really looking at not just the things that we're saying. It's another way of looking at the way that we're thinking. Is it divisive? Is it useful? Is it harsh? If it's not, then those thoughts are not helpful to follow. And the fifth one around drugs is not only about substances, it's also about any kind of addictive pattern or behavior that pulls us into this world of thinking or expecting that somehow there's going to be happiness through getting something that's out there. Now, all of us have addictions. And so we just need to own up to the fact that that's kind of the reality. And so for some of us, we have many addictions, some of us less addictions. But nearly all of us are addicted to the idea of I am. You know, I am. I exist as some kind of a separate entity that's separate from the world around me. It doesn't serve us. And it doesn't serve the world around us to hold on to that as an addiction. So part of our practice is to let it go, to find something else. So again, I don't ask you to take on precepts that don't make sense to you, but invite you to consider what does make sense to you and to use the time of affirming refuges and precepts to get some traction on what makes sense to you and a way of practicing with it that is supportive. Are there any questions about that? Okay. So, does everybody here know the Pali chanting? Yeah. So, let's do the Namo Tassa together and then we'll do the refuges and the precepts. The refuges, I'll go through it. So we'll do Namo Tassa, which is just paying homage to the Buddha and the Blessed One. Yeah. We do that together. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. And now the refuges. Repeat after me. So as we're doing the refuges, see if it's possible, just rather than reciting the words, to connect with the meaning. What do these mean for you? And let the reciting of the refuges be an energizing, an affirmation, and a commitment to turn towards refuge.
This talk, like all programs at Common Ground, is offered freely in the spirit of generosity. To learn more about Common Ground and its programs, or if you would like to donate, please visit our website, www.commongroundmeditation.org.